Thanks for joining us for episode 10 of season 5 of Couples Inc., a place where we help couples work better together.
The first and third Wednesday of each month, we drop episodes with advice, tips, and real-world experience for partnering in business and life.
I'm Glenn, a business owner and communication strategist. A couple days ago, I read about a man who's decided to run for president. His name was Dustin Eby. Emphasis on was, because he changed it to literally anyone else.
I think I saw this story.
Pretty funny until the reading of a relative's will, and I bequeath my 500-acre estate and the sum of $20 million to literally anyone else.
Oh, that he's going to regret that name change.
Been hurt in a wreck? Call literally anyone
literally
else.
Literally anyone else. I'm Jody, Glenn's partner in life and business. And you know what? Morning Jody has big plans. She's ambitious. She's going to get things done.
You betcha.
But she doesn't take into consideration afternoon Jody's energy level and desire to procrastinate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you need to get them together.
I do.
Maybe over tea or something.
Maybe.
Or
present Jody or midday Jody. We'll meet the two.
A nice glass of milk or something.
Yeah.
On today's show, we continue our three signs series with the three signs of success. And then we've discussed love languages in the past, but now there is a new list of stress languages.
Ooh.
And I'm getting stressed just thinking about learning a whole new language, what we call it, stressish.
Are you fluent in stressish?
Stressish?
Or do you just read?
I just read it.
You just read it.
Yeah,
you're not fluent.
I can't even read it, really, as you can see.
Well, yeah. And at the end of the show, we're introducing a new segment we're calling, first of all, where we discuss things that may be part of a rant. I don't know.
First of all,
we'll find out. But now, without further ado, let's get started with this episode of Couples Inc. For our big topic, we're bringing back our three signs series. In the past, we've covered signs that you have a communication problem or signs of burnout and signs you work well together. So it's not always negative.
I think I have all three.
All three signs of those.
Yeah.
But today we thought, you know, let's talk about the three signs of success. And
let's
we all
do it.
Know it can be different for everybody. Like what success is for one person could look very, very different for someone else. You know,
mine always has a dollar sign in front of it or behind it or in the middle of it.
Or in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, you know, for some, it's like a financial milestone.
Everywhere.
Nothing but dollar signs. Eyes become dollar signs like cartoon characters.
Yes. And I need to get a dollar sign suit made.
Yes, nothing but dollar, and of course a necklace with a dollar sign.
With a dollar sign.
But that's for some people might want this dollar sign utopia.
Sense.
For others, it may mean opening a new Oh, I just got that. Oh my gosh, I'm a little slow on the uptake there. This makes sense.
That's all right. Keep going.
Anyway. It's not the money. It's about opening a new location, hiring staff. Or for other people, it might be, you know, hey, freedom and control over the projects we work on or the time we spend.
Sure.
So success can look different for a lot of different people. But before we start talking about the three signs, I thought, you know, let's consult the expert on, you know, signs or predictions of things.
Magic 8-Ball, are we successful? Don't count on it.
All right, let's do that again.
But that's what it says.
Okay, let's you start this. Okay.
Magic 8-Ball, are we successful? It is decidedly so.
So, yeah, he actually has a Magic 8-Ball, for real. Like, he looked at that. It's in his office.
It's regulation size.
It is. It is. And he shook it up, but I heard somewhere you're not supposed to shake those up.
No, you're not supposed to. It introduces bubbles, and air is the enemy of the Magic 8-Ball.
Ooh, who
knew? There's a vacuum inside it. Yeah.
Air is the enemy of the Magic 8-Ball.
Just ask me. Well, anyway, I'll tell you everything about the 8-Ball.
So we don't need to look at these three signs. We know we'll be successful. The Magic 8-Ball says so.
Okay, yeah.
But we could still look at this list. We came up with a list that we thought, okay, couples in business are, you know, is this a sign of success? Some of them seem obvious. Others may be, you know, new. One, which is obvious, kind of reflects back on your dollar signs, is a positive cash flow.
Yeah, the dollar sign suit.
If you wear that
around town, people are going to know.
Right. You have more dollars than cents is what they're going to.
Yes, they will.
No, the dollar sign suit was maybe not the best investment, but you know, maybe you're manifesting. You're manifesting your wealth that way. But another sign is just to look at your books? And do you have a positive cash flow? You know, a lot of times the first year of business, it's not successful. And we've heard some people like start a business, they don't pay themselves, or maybe they don't pay both spouses. Yeah. That's not sustainable. So success comes when you have a salary, you're making more, obviously, you know, bringing more in than you're spending, and you can live off of this and potentially have employees. You know, we're not money experts, but we, you know, had to look at raising our rates because we knew that we needed to have, our cash flow has been positive, but we needed to have more as inflation hit.
Sure. And when you're in business as long as we've been, what is it now, 12 years?
It'll be 14.
14 years, sorry.
Yeah, 14.
That's magic eight ball, am I about to be fired?
Wait, hold on. Hold
Don't
on.
Invoke it.
Hold on. It's on an edge. Does that mean anything? Is that good or bad? That,
for me, it's pretty bad.
Okay, hold on. Are you going to be fired? Oh. Outlook not so good.
Oh, so not so good outlook that I'll be fired.
Or maybe outlook not so good that it means you are going to be fired. How do you read
question,
that?
Well, my question was, will I be fired?
Oh.
Outlook so not so good means that's a double negative.
Double negative, so you're not going to be fired.
It's not so good that I'm not going to be
Well, no, you're not going to be fired, though.
Wow.
All right, well, we'll come back to the Magic 8 Ball.
We bring you back now to the topic at hand.
But anyway, so we've been in business 14 years, and so you have your ups and downs in business.
Yes, especially if you're an elevator repairman.
No, I mean, like, the positive cash flow, that you want to make sure you have a positive cash flow, but you may have to increase rates.
Right, and you know, as long as we've been in business for 10, 14 years now, mm-hmm. I'm trying to do the math in my head and consult the Magic 8 Ball at the same
time.
Yes,
at the same
tricky,
time.
But you have to look at that, because you think about that, that is multiple business cycles.
Yes.
And you have all kinds of variables that you don't control, namely the cost of doing business, your mm-hmm. cost of supplies, if you have supply costs, if you have rent, if you have employees, obviously, they're going to, over that time, certainly going to need a raise.
Well, and you can't affect things, or you can't control things like pandemics that affect your business or,
sure.
You know, other issues. So again, positive cash flow is a success, but if money is one of your measuring sticks, if that's what you're like, this is success to me, you've got to be realistic. You know, not everyone's going to be $1 million, a multi-million-dollar business, and you can still be very successful. Are you paying your bills? Do you have your staff? Do you have an adequate salary? Celebrate the fact that that is a success. Now, do you want to keep growing and maybe become that million or multi-million-dollar business? Sure. But if you're like 3 years in, celebrate that you've made that cash flow positive move. You are, you know, successful. You understand your business model works. That to me is a sign of success.
Can you bake a magic eight ball cake to celebrate?
Yes, you should. Anyway, all right, let's look at the second sign of success.
Yes, let's. You have found the blend. That's the reference to what we talked about before.
Yeah.
Instead of work-life balance, we have the work-life blend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we often refer to it as blend instead of balance, mainly because we always think balance conjures up this, it has to be equal, or the boundaries have to be so, like, firm,
mm-hmm.
that you're going to have a blend. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But in my mind, you're successful if you've found that blend for yourself and your spouse and your company.
Absolutely. Yeah. You could talk about things on date night, like work-related stuff.
Yeah, that you're excited about.
Yeah, it just comes out naturally. It can come out at 3 a.m. when you're sleeping. And
right, or you continue to work when you sleep, and you've actually said things, well, that's just not going to work. I don't think we can do that. I'm like, what is he talking about?
Yes.
But success to me—
Guilty.
This is one that I think is my— I guess, measure of success is finding that blend.
Mm-hmm.
Having a business that you enjoy and working with your spouse and being excited about talking about it, even after hours, to me is a good thing. And having flexibility in your day to handle things that, you know, are not necessarily work-related.
Sure.
For me, this is my sign of success. Is the fact that we have that flexibility and we have that blend, because I am an active, you know, cancer patient. I have to do things throughout the day. It would be very unlikely that I would have a job that would allow me as much flexibility without me really having to, you know, take significant amount of time off. Where
certainly,
yeah. And so, to me, that is full on a sign of success. Is that we have, you know, kind of created our life in that way that has that blend.
Yeah, you bet. Number three, I'm going to hit that happiness.
Mm-hmm. It may seem obvious, but happiness, like, again, money can't buy you happiness, and a small business can't, you know, guarantee happiness. Being your own boss doesn't guarantee happiness.
No, it does not.
But to me, a sign of success is that you are happy. You, even in the worst day, is probably better than a regular day working for someone else, or when you don't get a chance to fulfill that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, as the entrepreneur, you kind of crave opportunities to make a difference, you know, and if that comes along, then you realize a dream.
Mm-hmm,
you're really taking control of your life, and you have that happiness quotient kind of built in.
Yeah, so I told you mine of these three, and you can have a totally different one. You know, I guess the thing that marks success for me is the blend and creating and designing our schedule and having a lot of flexibility. And yeah, we work hard, but it doesn't necessarily have the, we're not confined to the 9 to 5, and we're able to get a lot more done. So that, to me, that was success. For you, what, and I'm not saying that when you say it's a sign of success that, oh, we're done, you know, we're not going to achieve more, but I think people need to, you know, celebrate the successes along the way. What is, in your mind, you know, a symbol of this is success, or I have been successful?
Right. I think being able to articulate to myself a new idea that comes from who knows where, and be able to run that past you, and if you say it's okay, we can do it. No, if it's something that I feel like is a valid idea or concept, then we can talk it over and, you know, plug it in.
So for you, success is the opportunity to be creative.
Part of it is, but part of it also is that we're at the top of the decision-making pyramid.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, it's not like you have to run it up the ladder to your boss, who then goes to their boss, who then decides, you know, and it trickles down.
Yeah. Now, granted, in our business as a service industry, our clients are pretty much, you know, they're our bosses.
I never let that stand in my way.
But it's a different dynamic.
I go off the reservation constantly.
That
the
is
magic
true.
Eight ball, in fact, I meant to talk to you about that. That's the new CEO.
You'll go run everything by it. Is this a good idea?
Absolutely.
No, I think that is one of those things that in a service industry or in a retail industry, you know, customers, clients, you know, there are other people who are, you have to answer to, but it is a sign of success when you, as a business owner, are the one who can make some of these decisions and control your destiny. I think that is definitely a sign of success.
I do too. Yeah.
So, but let's double check just to make sure.
This is pretty sad, I have to say.
Okay, let's talk the magic eight ball.
You have to ask it a specific
question.
I
know, yeah.
A yes or no question.
Right, right. So were we right about our list of the three signs of success? Oh, it's upside down.
Is that a good sign? That's, I don't know. Maybe that's double good luck.
Oh, it says better not tell you now.
Our segment B concerns the five stress languages, and I'm going to consult real quick with the Magic 8-Ball. Am I in a state of stress right now, Magic 8-Ball? The answer is most likely.
Most likely.
So, yeah.
We're getting, you know, we're getting our money's worth of buying that Magic 8-Ball.
Right?
Not a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
But should it be? We should ask the Magic 8-Ball if it wants to be a sponsor.
That way lies madness.
Yeah, so stress languages.
Yeah, now we've talked about love languages.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in season 2, episode 3, if my memory serves.
Yes.
And I'm glad that's on this sheet of paper because I never would have called it up otherwise. And we even created our own work language or work love language in season 5, episode 3. So go back and refer to those.
Refer to those episodes. I was trying to remember.
Download them and share them with all your friends.
We couldn't come up with a name for the work languages, but we took that and thought, how do we apply that to work? And we're like, labor languages? No, that doesn't sound right. And work. But anyway, it was an interesting exercise to kind of see if we can create our own language.
That's growing on me. Labor language.
Labor languages.
It could be used in the birthing suite too.
Right. And that, well, we talked about that, and that's usually not...
Not safe for work.
Not safe for work language.
Yeah.
So, but we are going to talk about the five stress languages. Now, I saw this, Actually, I heard it on another podcast. Chantal Donnelly is a physical therapist, stress researcher, and author of Settled: How to Find Calm in a Stress-Inducing World. And apparently, she came up with these. We'll include a link to her website in our show notes. But she, sort of as an answer to those love languages, came up with stress languages.
Do you want me to do the intro?
The intro?
Yeah. The five different stress languages.
Yes.
You know, I like to gussy those things
you
up.
You do. Are you going to add some reverb?
Well, I don't know.
Let's try it with reverb.
A drum or something, or just an explosion. I don't know.
Well, let's try it again.
The five different stress languages.
Yeah, that's stressing me out, but I like it.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Is it effective?
It's effective.
Good.
All right, let's list the five first, and then we'll talk about them. So let's list the five and explain what those are, and then we'll kind of, you know, parse it down and talk about how we, I guess, how we perceive these in ourselves or in our partner.
Okay. Number one, the imploder. This is a freeze response to a stressful situation. The imploder may feel hopeless, helpless, hopeless, and paralyzed.
Okay. Now, I think I've got the opposite as the second one, the exploder. This is a fight or flight response to a stressful situation.
Right.
This person may have an inflated reaction to a stressful situation. They may get irritable, frustrated, or angry, or even have to leave the situation because they can't handle it. So you got your imploder and then you got your exploder. So one's internal, one seems to be external.
You know, I think I've done both of those.
Oh, I think we're going to find all five of these is something that everybody has done, at least depending on the situation.
Yeah. Number three is the machete wielder. No, sorry, that's a different sheet. Hang on.
That's a slasher film language. Okay.
Yeah, that's a concept that I'm working on.
Right.
We'll flesh it out later. Number three is the fixer. This reaction typically is how women express a stress response.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to be sexist here or generalized. I mean, it could be the male of the species,
too. I was going to say, I think I could see with fixer, it looks like in this case, they're looking at appeasement, people-pleasing, overstepping. But when I saw a fixer, I thought someone who tries to fix the problem, not try to calm the person or not try to, you know. But so I can see both genders doing
either
that.
Way, it's just treating the symptom, really, because there's usually in the workplace, there's not enough room or space or time to actually fix the problem.
Or they use the word mothering. That's in the workplace is very kind of odd.
Yeah. Number four, this is, I'm not sure how to pronounce this. The number?
The num-er.
The num-er.
Yeah, like as in numb. That's why I put a dash in there.
Okay.
Number.
Because it's N-U-M-B-E-R.
Right. So you're num-er. Yeah.
Yeah, I am just a number in the workplace. As in a person who numbs themselves to the outside world when things aren't going well.
Mm-hmm.
This person usually uses escapism, such as drugs, alcohol, online gaming, or other fun stuff, as coping mechanisms for stress.
Okay.
Overwork, over-exercising, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, or like tuning into TV and just zoning out, I think, is one of those things. Yeah. All right, the last one is the denier, and I just don't think it exists. No, the denier, this is someone who possesses toxic positivity in response to stress and can be overly optimistic to avoid reality.
Irritatingly optimistic.
So we've got imploder, exploder, fixer, numb-er, and denier. All right, so those are the five languages that were kind of summed up. As I was reading this, it's kind of like when we did the love languages, we looked and saw, okay, do we match?
Yeah.
We knew that touch, we matched on that. Spending time together, we matched. Gift giving was one of them. That's lowest on our, you know, priority list. So it was a match thing. I don't think in the case of couples in business, you're looking for matching or even complementing. Like, I don't think you need to have one person's the imploder, one person's the exploder, because they all kind of seem a little unhealthy. They're all legit ways people respond to stress.
Well, there aren't any of these that would really go on anybody's ideal traits for a coworker or a colleague in business.
Right, or themselves.
Yeah, Yeah, none of them are productive or efficient. It's not like you look at these and you think, well, okay, I want to weed all of this out.
Right.
And just create somebody or hire somebody that has none of these traits.
But that's not realistic.
It's not realistic
at
all.
And so unlike the love languages and looking at compatibility and expressing yourself, I think it might be good when you're looking at this. Yeah, none of them are extremely healthy, but it might help you understand where your partner is coming from,
mm-hmm.
and maybe how you can help them work through some of the situations.
Yeah.
So, for instance, if you've got somebody who is, you know, a numb-er, maybe it's okay that you have to kind of like tune everything out and watch a little Netflix for a while and zone out. Okay, that could be, you know, okay. But if you're finding your partner is using alcohol, online gaming, gambling, or other things, then that's where, you know, you need to say, okay, they're trying to numb the stress, and we need to talk about a better way to deal with stress.
So yeah, or if they're locked in the room with a magic eight ball for hours on end.
Yeah, that's
just we'll have to do an intervention. Just write down all the questions, all the responses,
all the questions.
And make that your life plan.
I know all the answers.
Which of these would you think that you are if you were to look at it objectively, Jody?
I'm a little bit of a number, but not in the, you know, extreme. I'm like, when I've had a bad day or I'm stressed, I will go to my comfort reads or my comfort shows and kind of zone out. I do find that, but again, not the extreme. Like, I'm not, you know, using drugs to numb myself as much as I'm like, you know what, I need to step back and just sort of get out of my head for a minute. So I feel like I'm a little bit of that. But as you were saying before, I think it all, I mean, imploder, I think we've all had a moment where we just kind of internalize and bring it in. And then exploder, I mean, come on, get me behind the wheel. Road rage.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all had that, you know, explode. And it's like totally not, you know, it's like, was that really the reaction that was supposed to be happening? Mm. You know, the person cut you off and almost caused a wreck. But maybe that wasn't the healthiest way to you know, express your stress.
Yeah.
So what about, okay, we talked about it all, you know, we've all probably experienced this. But if you were to sum up like what your, like of these five most common reaction to stress, what would that be?
Stress language. I think I'm the complete package. I've got all five of them. Yeah, that's just well-rounded.
True. You're striving for the
100%.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Five out of five.
Okay, because I think we all feel some of these at some point, what percentage would you say? Because like I said, I would probably be, you know, maybe 40% numb-er, 5 to 10% exploder, maybe 5 to 10% imploder. Fixer, I don't know how, I haven't kept up with the numbers, so I don't know how much I need to get to 100%. But in priority wise, I think number, exploder, imploder, maybe people might accuse me of denier because I do tend to have a positive outlook even when I get those diagnoses.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd call it toxic by any means.
Yeah, but I don't, I have a phrase like when I go to my, you know, cancer scans, don't get a tissue till you know there's an issue. Because I like to rhyme things. But it's like I tend to want to not think about the worst case and just wait and then react and then just say, you know, we'll do it. All right. So if you couldn't narrow it down to just one, do you have like a list order?
This is so funny. It is conditional, I think, conditioned on whether or not I have owned a business.
Mm-hmm.
As a business owner, I don't think that I do the same things or have the same stress languages that I did before I was a business owner.
Oh, yeah.
I think that that toughens you. I think it makes you a little bit less inclined to do the freeze.
Yeah, yeah.
Or fight or flight, or to fix things, or to be numb, or to deny. I think, for me anyway, this has helped me. I see some implosion in my past. I don't think fight or flight was a big deal. Fixer, some, yeah. The number, a little bit. And then the denier, maybe a little bit too. But now I don't feel like that any of these are in my wheelhouse. And I'm sorry that I'm letting you down.
You're letting me down. I wanted you to have a stress language.
Okay.
No, I think that's a good point. because I think just like certain things, when like a rock is worn away, it loses its sharpness. You know, like if you're chipping away at it and you can create a smooth statue from it, I think, well, life experience, us being the ages and, you know, we are and having the experience we have.
Yeah, that plays into it
and
too, for sure.
Business ownership has kind of softened these. So for us, maybe at one point we might have been, you know, a bigger exploder. I know in the past I was a bigger exploder. I would get more angry and, you know, outwardly like frustrated and show my anger. But then again, my cancer diagnosis and years of experience have kind of tempered that. And it's like, oddly enough, tempered my temper. It's like, it's not as sharp, but you still have facets of this. I would think, now again, they talked about Fixer being more like a motherly kind of thing or appeasement. I don't think that for you, I think it's Fixer, but in a different way. You like to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. So you take that stress and you turn it into, I'm going to solve this problem. Now, there's one thing here that is not on there that I really think is also you, distraction. Now, that could be number, but when you're stressed and you can't solve a problem, something that's outside of what you're able to do, for example, my health issues, or there's something else going on, you will find a project to focus on. It's not a denier thing, but it's a distraction thing. I think that's one way you deal with stress, is that you want to solve a problem. If you can't solve that particular problem, you're going to solve another one. Hi, I'm Jody.
I'm Glenn.
We want you to follow us.
Not like following a cult.
No.
No. We want you to follow our show.
Yeah, Couples Inc. is lots more fun than a cult.
Yeah, unlike most cults, Couples Inc. will never ask you for all your earthly possessions.
Plus, there's no ritualistic initiation or re-education or any of that stuff. All you have to do is follow Couples Inc. on Facebook and set up automatic downloads for Couples Inc. on Apple, Spotify, or any of your favorite streaming services.
That way, you'll never miss an episode.
Never, ever again.
All right, segment C, our fun segment, but we're going to create a new, I guess, I don't know if we'll bring this back again, but a new segment called, First of all, we hear ourselves say that phrase a lot these days.
When we're about to accelerate into a rant.
Yes.
Mostly.
Or a funny take.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. So, and first of all, why should we keep that to ourselves? So let's share.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what we do.
That's what we do. So you go first
of all. Couples Inc. And we hope you're glad that we do. Smash that like button. Number one that I have, and this is something that just came up, I think today, mm-hmm. we were talking about it, or maybe yesterday, lizard brain.
Yes.
First of all, what is the lizard brain? Can you explain that to me?
From what I understand, it's our prehistoric, basic biological brain that goes to the very, very, very basics of what it's like, just your weird reaction. It's honestly, it's probably just an excuse for when you do something stupid.
You do something crazy and you have to blame it on something. Well, why does it have to be a reptile?
That's true.
Why is it named for a reptile? That's second of all.
Well, first of all, again, maybe.
No this
second
is,
of
we
all.
We already did first of all on
okay.
this.
Okay, well, yeah. But first of all, we don't want to mess up the numbers.
Okay.
All right.
Last of all,
mm-hmm.
are you threatening me?
With lizard brain?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is that what it's supposed to do?
I think so.
Don't make me go lizard brain on you. Is
maybe
that it?
It's a reference to the Star Trek episode where he fights that lizard guy.
The Gorn.
So when you're saying you're it's lizard brain.
Captain. Guy had a really bad sinus issue.
Yeah. So, all right.
Poor
all right.
Reptile.
That's a good first of all.
Poor
okay.
lizard. I feel for him now.
Well, I mean, he was going to kill Captain Kirk.
Well, and Kirk had the opportunity to kill him, but he didn't.
Because he didn't have a lizard brain. See, that's what the message.
He didn't show it then.
No. So.
Didn't that guy come back, though, in one of the movies? No, that was Khan.
That was Khan.
Okay.
Totally.
Was Khan a lizard brain?
Maybe.
Hmm.
All right. All right, so mine, Met Gala, or Gala. Gala. Met Gala. The theme was Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion, and the dress code was, quote, the Garden of Time. Okay, first of all, for the average person, a dress code usually means, you know, casual or black tie or maybe that ever-confusing festive.
Hawaiian shirt day.
It's just, it's confusing. But for the Met Gala, the dress code is used as an inspiration for crazy works of fashion. Like for the Garden of Time, you could cover yourself in potting soil, and it fits the dress code and its fashion.
You did show me some of that.
Some of those photos were crazy. Well, and my, first of all, again, I'm going to keep with first of all, okay. Again. Who am I, though? I'm showing you these photos, and I'm finding myself getting angry at the people who didn't do the theme, and then also frustrated with the people who went too far. Like the girl who had a dress made of sand. I don't understand. So I'm like talking about this like I do when I watch the Great British Baking Show. I'm like, well, yeah, of course, Dorothy. Your sponge is going to be dry. Of course. Did you not do this? I don't know anything about that. But
do you do a first of all thing with that show?
Sometimes I do. First of all, when you're doing this, I don't know, somehow I become an expert and I don't understand. Who am I? Who am I?
This stuff really seeps into your conscience, doesn't it?
It does. Okay. Mm.
Okay. My second one is rolling roadblocks.
Oh.
Okay. I think everybody can relate to this. First of all, two vehicles moving at the same speed, side by side on the freeway for, a half an hour. Why is that a thing?
Lizard brain.
Why do they do that? Is that something in collusion with law enforcement or some kind of shadow government agency that we don't know about yet?
It's a personal affront against you.
The Rolling Roadblock Agency.
Yes.
A division of CIA. Second of all, this should be 100% illegal. With mandatory 20-year prison sentence. Mandatory.
Okay.
No leniency.
I think this is where you need to talk to your congressman.
Congressman?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, last of all, I don't need to talk to the congressman. I need my own personal freeway.
Yes, that would be good.
Or a flying car.
Well, could you imagine the rolling roadblocks with flying cars?
No, because you're in three dimensions then. You would
have a rolling roadblock in all directions. Lizard brain, are you listening to yourself?
Oh, okay. I'd be the lizard brain, the flying lizard brain.
All right. My next one is, let's talk artificial intelligence. First of all, has no one watched a Terminator movie? Any of them?
I guess
even
not.
The bad ones. They're all a cautionary tale.
But that's just a movie.
Is it? But also, second of all, I don't want artificial intelligence to write a poem for me or create a photo. If they can create artificial intelligence or a robot that can clean our gutters or the toilets or become a personal assistant, I mean, we got Siri, but is it really as good as, you know, the Star Trek computer?
Yeah, the Roomba.
And the Roomba.
Yeah, that's so, as far as they've taken. It's been on the market for 30 years. What?
I know.
First of all,
let's rethink our energy level and where we're putting this because we don't need a short story written by a computer. I need a computer that I can say, hey, schedule my dentist appointment for this day, but not just put it on my calendar, calling them, arranging it, you know, reminding the actual computer stuff.
Then they start taking instructions from the AI in person. And pretty soon, you're right back there with the Terminator movie.
No, that's true.
Okay. The third one I have is Devo.
Ah, Devo.
First of all. Fantastic band to begin with. Mm-hmm. And you and I were discussing this. We went to see Devo on a recent stop that they made in our area, and it was glorious. I didn't know what to expect, really. I've listened to them off and on for the last 45 years. You have heard some of their songs, but you really thought that it was a novelty thing.
Yes,
with a
yes,
bunch of
I wrote
keyboards
them
and wacky costumes and dance moves from Robot Land and all that kind of stuff. Second of all, you really turned a corner with that, and I'm so proud.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah, you opened your musical horizons. You won't listen to Conway Twitty as much anymore. I think you're really making strides, Jody. I'm very pleased. And last of all, see them if you can, because this is the last tour for them. At least so they say.
Well, my next one, funny you should mention, it was, 45 years you've been listening?
Yeah.
I saw on my Facebook feed an AARP post celebrating the 40th anniversary of the movie 16 Candles. Now, the fact that I've referenced Facebook and AARP tells you I'm of a certain age. But first of all, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. It's not a 45-year-old movie because the 1980s just happened 20 years ago. And I was reading an article and they said something about this technology has been in use since the turn of the century. I'm like, that's not possible. That was 19. Oh my God. They're talking about this century.
Okay, boomer.
So actually I'm Gen X.
You're not even a boomer.
I'm Gen X. But I'm like, first of all, stop this messing with my brain. I don't know what time is anymore. Yeah. If something I said happened a few years ago, add a couple of zeros after that. I'm like, no sense. I mean, the fact that we're all in a computer simulation doesn't really matter because time is just a construct of this. But I'm like,
Welcome to the club, Judy.
First of all, let's stop making me feel old.
First of all, this segment is over. Magic 8-Ball says most likely to be continued.
Thanks for listening to Couples Inc., a podcast helping couples work better together.
We put out new episodes the first and third Wednesday of each month. But to make sure you don't miss a show, subscribe using your favorite streaming service. We're on all of them.
And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, go ahead, share it with others, post it on social media, or leave us a rating or review.
And be sure to visit our website, couplesincpodcast.com. To learn more about us, review show notes, or leave us a message.
Until next time.